Well, this is that difficult. This is that difficult service of the meeting. Sometimes the afternoon services are the ones where it's harder to stay awake after everybody's eaten. But we'll trust that the Lord will bless the little service this afternoon and that you'll be encouraged by it. I'd like to read a passage that I suspect everybody is familiar with in the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. And for the sake of time this afternoon, I don't feel led to deliver a real long message, and I've been warned not to say that, because when you say that, it turns into a real long message. But we'll paraphrase some of this. 1 Samuel 17 and 20, this is when David was going out to face Goliath, and he had come to bring his brothers some food. And in the 20th verse it said, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid." And then, David began to inquire about what was going on, and his brothers weren't very happy with him for showing up, remember. And in the 29th verse, David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And in the 45th verse, it said, "Then said David to the Philistine," because he went and he tried on the armor and none of that fit him. He wasn't acquainted with that. And so he just took what he was comfortable with. He took what had been tried and true in the past, what God had blessed in the past. And it said, "Then David came to the Philistine, said to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose, and came and drew nigh to meet David," now listen to what David did, "that David hasted and ran." He ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He didn't wait for him to come to him. He ran to the Philistine. And it said, "And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk in his forehead and he fell forward upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and with the stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David." And I'm thinking this afternoon, I've written it on the board if you can read it. It said, "Is there not a cause?" Do you know that everyone in life, to some extent or another, we have a cause? We have an agenda. Maybe I'd say it better that way. We have a purpose in life. And a lot of times you can find out what people's agenda is by following their limited resources. Those resources that you only have so much to do with. In fact, I think Michael might have mentioned a little bit earlier about it. You only have so much time. People say, "I don't have time to do it." You make time to do what you want a lot of times. I have a limited supply of means. You decide what you want to do with it. And a lot of times you discover what people's agenda is by how they use their limited resources. And you look out across the world and people have all kinds of agendas. They have all kinds of purposes. They do all kinds of things and they feel passionate about them. There are people that feel passionate about some of the agendas they have that we look at and go, I don't know why they're spending all their time doing that. I mean, that looks like a royal waste of time. But to them, they're passionate about it. And so much so that they take the limited resources that they have and they apply it to that because they believe in it. And that becomes what their cause is. Well, there's a lot that can be said about this account. But this afternoon, the little message that I want to leave with you and that I'll get to here shortly has to do with the cause that David had. David had an agenda and he had a purpose that was designed to glorify God. It wasn't designed to glorify David. It was designed to glorify God. And he was willing to put it all on the line by himself. He was willing to go it alone if he had to, and he did in this case, because he wanted to glorify God. That was his purpose. So the David, we find that he came up and he saw what was going on. He looked at all that was transpiring, and he was young. I mean, he was not a seasoned soldier. He wasn't even a young soldier in the minds of those that were looking on. Now, he'd done some things over on his own that we could talk about too. But he came up and he looked at all that was going on and he recognized that the armies of the Lord were being defied. And by extension, God wasn't being trusted in. God wasn't being served like he ought to be served. And the army of the Philistines, they were defying Goliath. He was defying the very thing that David believed in with all of his heart. And then he saw the armies of Israel drawing back and becoming fearful and just looking on and shaken in their boots, fearful. Because they looked at a giant that looked like was bigger than they were. And so David, he looked at all that and he started to talk to his brothers a little bit about it. Well, they didn't like that. And I won't talk about this too long, but you know, a lot of times when people begin to live in ways that they really isn't consistent with truth, and somebody begins to put a little light on that, a lot of times the response you get is that people begin to try to divert the attention to a problem that you have. And that's what his older brother said, his eldest brother, when he heard him speaking, his anger was kindled, and he said, why'd you come down here, and who did you leave those few sheep? Did you get that? It was a little bit of a stab at him. What'd you do with those few sheep? You don't have much responsibility in the first place, but the little responsibility that you have, where did you leave those? Well, if you notice, when we read, said David left him with the keeper. He didn't just walk off and leave his responsibility. He did leave him with a keeper. That'd be another message. But the fact of the matter was, when truth was brought up, what happened was, a natural reaction many times to people who are starting to slip from truth is to begin to point to the problem that you have. And it causes a distraction, throw out a smoke screen so that we don't have to deal with the real issue that you just raised. Let's look at something else. But we find here that David, he was not deterred by that. David was undeterred by all of that. And he realized that God was not being put first. The truth wasn't being put first. Land that God wanted his people to have was being encroached upon. And so it said that David, by himself, went towards the giant and not at a walk. Not at a stroll. He didn't act fearful. Now, he had to have been human in some way. But he took his sling and he took his trust in God. And it said that he ran to the battle. And he was ready and willing to fight the battle for the Lord. And you know what the result was? because he was willing to stand for truth, even if he was all by himself, the result was that not only was David saved and his brothers saved, all these other people were benefited and saved, even the ones that scoffed at him. You ever think about that? They benefited from David standing up for truth. People benefited from David standing up for truth that weren't even involved with David coming. They were back there in the backgrounds. There were people that maybe not have had even been born yet. I'm going to try to keep this short. This could go a lot of ways. But they benefited because he stayed true. David made that his cause. He made that his agenda. And when he looked at the Lord being defied and the people of God being defied, he looked at all of that and his comment was, is there not a cause? What are we doing? Why are you guys standing back? I understand it looks like a giant. I understand they look bigger than you are. But is there not a cause? Do we not have something worth fighting for? Isn't this truth that's at stake? And so this is my challenge today for us. We have a cause today. And I guess the challenge that I have felt for this meeting, I've preached similar messages. My family could probably testify on this passage. But the thing today that stands out to me that I want to challenge you with on there, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause that we stand up for truth in a day where nominal Christianity is trying to come in and dilute the gospel and to try to diminish and take away from the discipleship that the Lord wants us to have? I'm talking about other people who profess Christianity that come in with a different agenda but still naming the name of the Lord. You see, I'm alarmed and I'm concerned because I see, as time moves on, I see more and more influence come among us where the power of the gospel is being diluted and more is being viewed as a non-issue with the Lord. And you can do more and more and more, and there's no definitive rights and wrongs. Well, maybe I should say there's no definitive wrongs. It seems like more and more and more can be acceptable, and you can still be a Christian. Holy living is becoming extinct in the Christian world. You want to talk about holiness? People draw back from that. And a quick comment is, just like David's brother said, well, do you think you're holy? Instead of discussing holiness on the merits, and instead of discussing the gospel and the power that the Lord came to bring us to live a life that he can be pleased with, it's, well, do you think you're perfect? No, I'm not perfect. But God has called me to improve and grow in grace and put behind the sins that doth so easily beset me. And he has power and his grace so I don't have to be the same tomorrow that I am today. Thank the Lord. That's a message that we have. And yet, if we're not careful, we'll allow the spirit of the enemy, the spirit of the world, the spirit that is in the Christian world out there, to come in among us and begin to take away from us the power that God wants us to have in him. And we begin to fit in. We begin to take on the ways of nominal Christianity, which has a form of godliness, but it doesn't have the power that God wants from us. Is there not a cause? The Bible still teaches, I'm going to tell you something, the Bible still teaches that fornication is a sin. It's black and white. The Bible still teaches marriage is between a man and a woman. The Bible still teaches that men and men is not right, women and women aren't right. Now, we may be out there, and the scary thing is that in the Christian world, the things that I just mentioned, which we would think would be so clearly obvious, they wouldn't even need to be said, yet these things are becoming accepted in the churches of people who profess to be Christians. And yet, the Bible says, you read through, I believe it's in Galatians, lists a lot of things, and it says, and they which do these things shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's all. It's that simple. But you know, it goes from that to something maybe that doesn't seem quite as bad. And pretty soon we have worldly mindedness. And I'm going to just say it that way for the sake of brevity, worldly mindedness that can begin to come in among us. And we begin to take on the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But we say, well, but it's God knows my heart. He does know your heart, and he knows mine, and that's what concerns me. I was working on our roof yesterday and at our house, and did you know that when I got up on the roof, it looked worse when I got up there than it did from the ground, and it didn't look very good from the ground. But when I got up there, it was like, oh my, there's more going on up here than what I thought. And many times people, we can look at other people's lives and think, well, it looks okay. But when we get to heaven, God's going to be seeing us as we are. And he is concerned about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, because the scripture says they're not of God. And that's not who he is. And yet these things begin to creep among us. I'll let you define for yourself what those things are today. But they begin to creep in among us. And what we do as Christians, maybe the progression goes, if we've been taught against it all of our lives and then it starts coming in, what we'll first do is we'll observe it and think, well, that doesn't seem quite right. But then we don't say anything. And we start looking around and watching it. And then we become familiar with it. We pretty soon we start kind of accepting it and think, well, maybe this will work out. Maybe you can serve God and man. Maybe we just figured out a way where you can serve God and man. But the Bible says we can't. But it feels to me like the Christian world believes that they have reached this higher plane where they have intellectually discovered how to serve God and not be so encumbered with these other things that don't matter so much. They do matter. And what I want to encourage us today is we have a cause to stand up for these things. Sometimes you may feel like that you're alone. You look around and everybody else is doing stuff that the Bible says it isn't right, and you feel convicted about it. Be willing to stand up. There's a cause we're fighting for. We are on the right side of truth. We're on the right side of truth. Young people, don't allow yourself to be pulled to worldly mindedness, but believe that you can still be a Christian and God's bigger than all of that. God's calling you to be bigger than all of that. That's the way that it is. People think, well, God is a bigger God than these things. God wants to take you to a bigger, larger, expanded place. That's what he wants to. What's easier, to just fall into it and do it, and that's just who I am and we're the flesh, but God's bigger than that? What is easier, that? Or having the power of God work in our lives where we can live above that? That's a higher calling. That's what God is calling us to do. And when we do that and get the power of the Spirit working in us, we're not just living to a set of rules. This really struck me. David didn't just show up having never thought about God, never had a relationship with God, and looked around and said, well, you know what? This doesn't seem quite right. I think I'll just go take the giant on. He was back there in those fields somewhere with those sheep talking to the shepherd.
Yes, that's right.
And he was drawn close to the Lord.
Right.
And he had something that was burning down in his heart. So that when the giant appeared and the army of the Philistines appeared, he had something on hand that just came out. And he was willing to stand true. And he wasn't just living to a form and an itemized list of, well, you have to do this, 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 and this to be a Christian. Well, you can have a lot of willpower and do all those things, but I'm going to tell you what, sometime in life, there's going to be an army that comes along and throws something out at you that wasn't on your list that needs to be taken care of in the right way. And if you don't take care of it in the right way, you're going to be lost. That's why God wants His Spirit to work in us. He wants us to be filled with who He is, so that when the armies come, we can look at all of it and say, wait a minute, is there not a cause? The three Hebrew children. I'm so glad that story's in there. They stood alone. There were three of them in the midst of all of the people, influential people. These were people that were influential people. Sometimes it's easier to stand strong if you're an adult and there's a bunch of little kids running all around you. You might be able to feel pretty good about being strong and says, no, this is what we're going to do. But then when you are viewing other people that you kind of look up to, and there's a whole bunch of them and they're influential, what we tend to do is to kind of shrink back. Maybe do as the army of Israel did, just shrink back, just kind of watch it. Not say anything. Don't address it. Just be quiet. Just let it pass. But they said to the king, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. They weren't being disrespectful. What they were saying was, the question's already been answered. We don't have to think about it anymore. This is where we are, period. We're standing on the side of God. Be it known unto you this day, we're not careful to answer you in this thing. We are not going to bow down to this idol. And they told him, they said, the God that we serve, He's able to deliver us from this. But if He doesn't, be it known unto you this day, we're not going to do this. Daniel said that he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. And you can read all about the heroes of faith in Hebrews. And the scripture in there says that they choosing rather, to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. See, there's an end to it. May God all help us all to recognize there's an end to the pleasures of sin. They're only for a season and they're going to end. But they had a vision. The heroes of faith had a vision. There's a cause. Noah stood up for 100 years in the midst of all that he must have heard and the scoffing. What are you doing that for? That's not necessary. It's never rained. Have you ever heard that before? That's not necessary. Oh, it's not necessary to do that. You don't have to worry so much about, trying to abstain from that kind of stuff. God knows your heart. Oh, it's not so necessary. People view it differently today, we hear. People don't view it like they did before. We don't think about it like that. We're kind of above that. That's kind of the feeling you get. You're right. People don't view it the same today as they did some years ago. Noah felt some of that. What are you doing this for? But he was willing to stand. And there was a cause. And I want to be encouraged this afternoon to stand strong for the cause of the Lord. I want to stand for truth. I want to know what truth is. And truth is going to have to be revealed to me by more than just getting a set of rules from somebody. I need to have the Spirit of God living in my heart. I have to get to the place where I say, Lord, whatever. Whatever it means. Whatever it takes. Lord, here am I. I'll go. However it is, Lord, that you want me to live, would you reveal it to my life? Because there's a cause. And it's worth fighting for. And I want to stand on the side of truth, because it's the winning side. I want to be on the winning side, particularly when it comes to the Lord. When He comes breaking through those clouds to gather His own, you know what it's going to mean to be on His side and to have Him say, enter thou into the joy of the Lord, or on the other side to say, depart from me, I never knew you. I want to stand with the Lord. There's a scripture, and we won't read it, but in the 18th chapter of John, Jesus went into a garden And it talked about Judas being with those that came for Jesus. And the scripture kind of ended, and it said this, talking about Judas. It said, and he stood with them. I think I have that underlined in my Bible. He stood with them. Oh, he stood with them. Do you think that was his intent in the beginning? I don't know. But I know this, he had stood under the gospel too. He had stood beside Jesus. He had been taught the truth. He had been shown a cause that was greater than himself. And yet in the end, the scripture said that he stood with them. Paul asked the question, for do I now persuade men or God? And so I want to ask you today, who is it that you, what's your objective in life? What's your agenda? What is your end goal? People say, well, my end goal is to make it to heaven. Well, people who are really serious about their goals, they have strategies and tactics and they have action plans that address the gaps that are in their life so that they can reach the end goal. You can't just say, I think I want to go to heaven. Well, I do too. What are we doing about it? Brother Clifford Wilson used to say, we're only going to get there if we want to get there worse than anything else in life. It's going to have to be your agenda. We're going to have to be willing to take on that cause. Hebrews 12:1 said, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And I think about those cloud of witnesses. I don't know if everybody, well, yeah, I'm sure everybody doesn't think like I think. That's a good thing too. But I like to imagine the cloud of witnesses. I like to think about people that have gone on before us, maybe that I know. Brother Clifford Wilson's one of them, because I was, a lot of people say they were close to him. I was too. I'm in those ranks. I remember telling Sister Orpha just a couple days before she died, she was laying on her bed, and I said, would you tell Brother Clifford hello for me when you see him, and that I'm doing everything I can to make it and see him. Yeah, she'd tell him that. And I just felt like I was real close to him. But I like to think about those cloud of witnesses that stood true, that made this their cause, that were willing to stand for truth and not allow the weights of the world to hinder them in their race. And I like to think about those clouds of witnesses looking down and cheering us on. Cheering us on. Maybe our grandparents, maybe our dads that have gone on, our mothers that have gone on, special people that have gone before us. And they made it because they made it their cause. And now they're looking down on us because the baton has been passed to us. And they're cheering us on, saying, you can do it. Make it your cause. Even if you feel alone and you feel like everybody around you is, they have a testimony of salvation, but you can see that something's not right with the fruit of their life and what the truth says. Don't go that way. Stay with the truth. Even if you're the last one standing. A lot of times you're not the last one standing. Elijah thought he was the last one. God said, I got a whole bunch of them that haven't bowed to Baal. But sometimes it feels like we're the last one. When you feel like you're the only one, everybody say, no, you can be saved and live this way. Jesus said a long time ago, you can't. So don't even go there. Be like the three Hebrew children. Enemy, I am not careful to answer you in this thing. I will not do this. Is there not a cause? It's the cause of truth. This is worth living for. It's worth dying for. It's worth sacrificing for. And if we will make it our cause, and we will draw the line in the sand, and with diligence and fervency of spirit and a focused mind, we look to the Lord to follow Him and be a disciple. And when we see something contrary to truth start to infringe upon our lives, we'll identify it by the help and spirit of the Lord and we'll say, is there not a cause? And we will run to the battle to defeat it. So that at the end of the day, we can stand with the Lord. And we can hear those words when he gathers his people that have made him their cause, not just in word, but in deed. And we'll hear him say, come on, Rod. Come on, you're enter thou into the joy of the Lord. It's going to mean something for us to do this. Pray for me. I want to be saved. And you be encouraged to make your agenda in life, your purpose, your cause, to stand on the side of an undiluted, pure truth and gospel. It'll see you through. Amen.